morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And we just thank you that you're our teacher and you show us things we would never otherwise know. And as I look at this subject, I pray you would empower the words to what you mean them to say, open our hearts to be able to see, empower us to understand our place here on earth. And so, Lord, I give you this time. And so I pray you to anoint me with the Spirit. I just speak words of the Spirit and open each heart to receive of the Spirit. So we thank you for this time in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to start off with Jeremiah 15:4. Now, as soon as I say Jeremiah, you ought to know, like, oh, geez. Okay, the weeping prophet, you know, that was there, to God presented to tell Judah that their time had run out, you know, that's the whole thing, you know, and just, so you just kind of guess where this is going. But let's look here, Jeremiah, we'll start with Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 4. God's telling Jeremiah, and I will make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth, because of what Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, did in Jerusalem. Now, what's saying here, what's fascinating about this to me, is God is telling Jeremiah that he's pouring out irreversible wrath on Judah. And it's been predetermined. Because he's pouring out irreversible wrath because of what Manasseh has done. Okay, Manasseh's dead. He's gone. So you got another king. In fact, here you probably had a couple of kings. But he's telling, no, it says, I'm bringing judgment because of what Manasseh did. They couldn't recoup from what Manasseh did. And so when you look at that, it's kind of fascinating. And even after Manasseh, you had the good king Josiah, which, you know, kind of led a revival. But it didn't change the end result. Didn't change the end result. Because it had already been determined because Manasseh had passed that line. He had overstepped that boundary. And evidently had brought the people along with him. And so what Manasseh had did, and the evil of Manasseh had permeated society, and things reached a point of no return. Nothing was left. Nothing was left but the irreversible wrath of God. And everybody in here is going, I'm so excited I came this morning. It's Mr. Sunshine speaking. Okay. And what we have here, too, I want us to look at in 2 Chronicles. There's not an overhead for this, but if you'll just listen. And it also says in 2 Chronicles 36:16, it gives a view of the society as a whole. So we have this picture of the sins that Manasseh brought in that bring back the irreversible wrath of God. Now, later on, after Manasseh, and like I said, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4, 6, something like that, kings after Manasseh. Okay, so I mean, he made it bad on everybody, okay? But here at the end of Judas, before they're totally destroyed by God, 2 Chronicles 36:16 gives us a view of the people. Not Manasseh, but of the people. And it says this, but the people, they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against the people, until there was no remedy. So you see what's happening. You know, you've got this movement, and that, you know, with the tip of the spear, and this, they're having issues all along if you read the Old Testament, but the tip of the spear was Manasseh, and after that, he brought in the whole nation with him, where it would say, just basically made a proclamation on all of society there. Now, so there is an Old Testament view, and I believe that God's showing us something there because these things repeat themselves. And so he's telling us so we will know. Okay, so we will know. And so we see this. Now what I want to do is here we're going to kind of jump to the New Testament, current day, and we know that God is full of mercy, grace, and forgiveness. But still, God will judge persistent sin. Just Same thing. Genesis, Revelation, it's always there. So, in the Old Testament and New Testament, it tells us that there will be a day when there's no remedy. There's a day when there's no remedy, and then God's going to pour out his wrath. Okay. Now, everybody is really saying, I really wish I hadn't come this morning. You know, it's like, gosh. But anyway, let's keep going because it really applies to us today. So what I want to read is in, I won't have an overhead, but I want to read in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. You certainly don't want to turn there. But I'll just read it to you. Okay, because God's saying the same thing that he said in the Old Testament. And he goes, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10, he says, "Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Now we know when we accept Christ, we're washed in the blood and everything's washed away. Hallelujah. And he even says after that, he goes, and some of you, this was some of you, but you have been washed in the blood. Okay. But he's making the point like, no, this is not God's going, this is not acceptable to me. I'm not going to live with this, he's basically saying. Now, I just want to go through these because I think it's insightful. It says, do not be deceived about these. And then one is like sexually immoral. Now, that term is used, and when you see the original term there, it's used for all sorts of various immoral behavior. I mean, it's just kind of a catch-all. It just catches the whole bunch, okay? And we get the original word, we get the word pornography from that word. So it catches everything, okay? So that's where we get pornography, is from that word. And then it says idolaters. Now it's funny, in this whole list, it puts idolatry in the mix of sexual sins. And the reason it does that, because anyway, an idol is anything you put before God. That's what an idol is, you know. It's anything you, and the New Testament really clarifies that. And so it's anything we put before God. And so sexual sins are idols because we'll put them before God and they blacken our heart where we can't have that relationship with God. So they call it an idol, which is kind of insightful how God looks at it. Then it says adulterers. This is immorality, but worse because it breaks God's covenant. Then it says homosexuality. List here. This is sexual relationships, those of the same sex. That's what it is. And it's an abomination to God. It's very, very clear. It's an abomination to God. No question there. Now, so as we look at this, it's like, whoa. So we want to understand in the whole, starting from the Old Testament, what we're seeing to the New Testament here. And we need to understand something here and just beware. Beware. That, in fact, that's why I entitled the message, is beware. By the way, that was a real problem for me, is trying to figure out what the title to give this message. I thought of several, and I thought, oh my God, those are terrible titles. So I just came up with beware, okay? So beware, and here's something we need to beware of, okay? Sin is not static. It's not static, okay? You need to always understand, it's not static. Sin progresses. It doesn't stay there. Where everyone involved in the sin, given time, it progresses. It doesn't stay the same. And here's how it progresses. I had someone share this with me 40 years ago, and it has proven absolutely, totally true. All right? This is how sin progresses. First, it's tolerated. It's tolerated. Well, not me. It's just tolerated. Don't want to judge them. It's tolerated. Then it's accepted. It's okay. That's what happened. Tolerated, then accepted. Then it is embraced. Hey, well, you strut around like a rooster. You know, it's like it's embraced. Doesn't make any difference. Then, finally, it's promoted. It's promoted. And that's what, like, no, you don't have a choice in this. You don't have a choice in this. In fact, if you disagree with this, something's wrong with you. It's promoted. See? Now, write that down. I'm going to read it again because this is what happens. And just put anything, you can put anything, any place, and this is how it goes. What's first? Progresses. It's tolerated, then accepted, then embraced, then it's promoted. Then it's promoted. And that's certainly what we see in this country. Okay? Now, this is true individually, but it's also true nationally. And this is kind of where I want to focus. It's true nationally. See, sin grows and finally permeates the entire population. Entire population. And when it permeates the entire society, Jeremiah declares, we've reached the point of no return. Because it's permeated all of society. And we think, well, we got in our little corner. No. See. And so, here's what Jeremiah says. This is when you know, okay, it's getting bad. And then Jeremiah, you can write this one down because it's really kind of interesting. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 12. I don't have an overhead, but Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 12. In this context, he says this. No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Oh, they don't know how to blush. How about us? Sometimes it's eyes going, we don't even blush anymore. See, and Jeremiah goes, no, that's a sign. It's a sign. It's done. That's a sign. It's done. So, what I want to do now is beware. Beware. I want us to look at our current situation as a country and blush. Okay? And blush. First one, and by the way, as I write these down, if you research these things, I mean, you can go, I mean, it's really depressing. I encourage you not to do it. Because if you research these, I mean, it's a black hole that goes on forever. You think, oh my God, you know. So I didn't research it. This is just stuff I saw. I mean, it's just like what's hell, you just know it's happening. And you think, oh my God, I know it's worse than this, but this is what's happening. Based on what God has said, and we should blush at this. First thing I see, homosexual and transgender lifestyles have been promoted in the school system. They're on the final edge of that. Not embraced, they're promoted. They're promoted. The key word there is promoted. So we see this in the school system. You've seen it here the last 5 years. And I've said this before, 40 years ago, I went to a conference, and the Bible-believing, teaching pastor stood up, and he said, I'm telling you what's happening right now. There is an agenda in the homosexual community. There is an agenda. And the purpose is, and what they have to do to have this accepted, is to get it in the school system, and they have to get it in junior high. 40 years ago. He's nuts. That's the stupidest thing. That's nuts. That didn't make any sense. Now I'm right here. Man, the guy's dead on. And all he did was look at the scripture and the unfolding and look at the progression of sin, and he told us what was happening. And he knew things that were happening around the country. He said, this is what's happening. Well, it happened. That's what has happened. And why is it in the school system, especially in junior high? Because you're going through puberty, you don't know whether you're coming or going, everything's confusing, and that's when you interject at that time, because they're vulnerable, and you have teachers interjecting it. What you doing? So, oh my goodness, so, not good. Okay, the country, this is not good. This is an abomination. Now, here's another one. So-called Christian denominations openly embrace homosexual lifestyle and homosexual marriage. Christian churches, you go to churches and you have, and we have, I won't say that. There are situations I know of where they're going to church and they have the, you know, I didn't know you homosexuals, they have a flag. You know, so they flag. And, I mean, they've hijacked the rainbow. It really bothers me they hijacked the rainbow. I mean, so they have their flags. And so these flags are hanging in these churches. In fact, I know two churches right here in Ashburn. You drive by and you see their outside sign, and they have in the corner the flag there. See, it's promoting it. It's accepting. It's promoting. That's what it is. That's what's happened. And so we see this, that the churches are accepting this. Well, now that one thing it tells you, and you should know this, those churches aren't reading the Bible. They're not standing on the Bible. So just know that. That flag, they may be lovely people, but that flag, the scripture is irrelevant. God is love. He'll take care of you, you know. See, so anyway, it's like, oh my gosh. So there's two that you're thinking of. Now, and this one, I'm going to say this. I didn't even have this one until Friday. I thought I was done. So I just changed the whole message because of this one. And I was watching the news. So I don't have all the details, but I checked up and followed up on. I said, I can't believe this. Have you heard of the movie Cuties on Netflix? Have you heard about it? Oh my God, don't watch it, okay? It stars 11-year-old girls in sexual provocative ways. 11-year, pre-puberty, 11-year, and they show just the clip. Says, we just wanted to get a neutral clip. We didn't want to taint you, you know, with the rest of it because it's much worse. I am like scarred for life with the neutral clip. I couldn't believe they're 11 years old. Oh, and of course, and some people, well, it's just evangelical Christians won't like this, but people are kind of starting to stir. But it's like, oh my goodness. And then John MacArthur, interesting fella, he's a real conservative Bible teacher, been around forever, and they asked him what he thought. So I knew John MacArthur, so I see what this guy says. And he says, here's the problem. Talking about this movie, when you have a dynamic movement in the culture towards evil at all levels, it is just not possible to stop it. Whoa. I mean, that sounds like Manasseh. You know, that sounds like, okay, we're just sucking it up for irreversible wrath. You know, because you can't stop it. Because that's what Jeremiah said. You can't stop it. You're going to be punished for the sins of Manasseh. See? That's 2 Kings later. Manasseh's dead. So anyway, so like Jeremiah said, you don't know how to blush. And by the way, I think if anybody, the government, had any idea that they could track this film, you know, who's watching it, they'd catch all the pedophiles in the country. Because they love this thing. Anyway, so I'm shocked. So I'm shocked Friday. Okay, but I had all the rest of it done except this one. It's like, oh, crud. Now, so you've got that as a country. So we're blushing as a country, okay? Last year, New York passed a bill where a baby can be terminated at full term. Full term. Full term. You can terminate the baby. When it passed, I saw this, when it passed, the whole New York General Assembly, when they passed this bill, jumped up and cheered and clapped for what God calls an abomination. You don't know how to blush. See, it's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Now, here's the other one. Y'all know this one. The Virginia governor, we know him, won't say his name, we know who he is. The Virginia governor shared how he, as a doctor, would make a newborn baby comfortable until deciding whether to terminate the baby. Now, this is on YouTube. You can look, it's on YouTube. I mean, it's like, you've got to be kidding me. Kidding me. Now, I want to encourage you. Here's a movie I want you to watch. As a Christian, you're obligated to watch this. Okay, I'm kind of stepping out a little bit, all right? But you really shouldn't watch it. And the name of the movie is Unplanned. Unplanned. Now, you remember that, okay? Like My life is unplanned. Okay, it's unplanned. Okay, that's the name of the movie. Okay, and it's about Abby Johnson, the former director of Planned Parenthood, former director of a Planned Parenthood clinic, who'd received various awards for her exceptional work at Planned Parenthood. The movie reveals how she became aware of how barbaric the abortion industry was and became committed to the pro-life movement. Abby Johnson. And this movie, and it's really good. I mean, it's a good show. And it's not gory. Like, oh, I'm not going to watch. It's not like gory. But why you need to watch it, because the key word here is Planned Parenthood industry. Industry. It's a money-making worldwide deal. Okay? There, you know, and the whole idea is to do as many abortions as possible. And what this movie does, it explains, and you see that, and you understand the depth of the evil that is being used by this. Okay? And so it's good to know. I mean, it's not good as a Christian just to be ignorant of it. Yeah, that's bad, and I wouldn't know. It's worldwide. It permeates the nation. It permeates society. See? So it's like, oh my goodness. So now, have you had enough? It's like I've run lunch for everybody. It's like, holy cow, Wallace. But the whole thing of it is, and where I was convicted, is that in my responsibility, if I don't share this, I'm accountable for not sharing it. And so this is, I said, I've just got to share this. And to let people know, to be aware of what's going on, and then we see what's happening around us. And we just can't just kind of motivate along and think everything's just fine when the whole structure around us is caving in. See what I mean? Now, here's the thing. Is a nation, biblically, God is not pleased. He's not pleased at all. Now, here's the thing. What can we do? What can we do? See, we actually can do something. We actually can do something. And actually, the church is the only one who can do something. It's only the church that can do anything about this. See, so what can we do? Well, here's the little insight we have, and it's in Genesis 18 and 19, okay? And you don't have to turn there, but anyways, Genesis 18 and 19, but we have an idea about how God works and about what we can do. Now, what we have here is God is going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. He's coming down to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, and he tells Abraham. And Abraham says, oh my gosh. So Abraham pleads with God not to do it. God, don't. I mean, he said, oh my God, all those people. You know, he pleads with God not to do it. He pleads with God to have mercy. And this is what he says in Genesis 18:24. Abraham says, suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for 50 righteous who are in it? That's what he asked. So Abraham is saying, dear God, if there are 50 righteous, don't destroy the city. If you can find 50 righteous. God answers Abraham. Genesis 18:26. And the Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake. I can find 50. If I can find. Then it goes on, we see that. So for 50 righteous, the city would be spared. The whole city. The whole city. If 50 righteous in the whole city will be spared. The presence of God's people will prevent God's judgment. Think about it. The presence of God's people will prevent God's judgment. The church is essential. The world exists because of the church. We know that. We know that. And the church is the reason God doesn't bring His wrath on this sinful world. Amen? See how important you are to God? See how important? Now, the Holy Spirit, and we understand this, the Holy Spirit within the believer, the Holy Spirit, we understand that. You receive Jesus, your sins are forgiven, the Holy Spirit indwells you. That's God Himself indwelling you. The Holy Spirit within the believer is restraining the forces of evil. The Holy Spirit within you is the restraining force against evil, delaying the wrath of God. I'm going to repeat that because I want to settle in. The Holy Spirit within the believer is the restraining force against evil, delaying the wrath of God. The Apostle Paul, now I'm going to confirm this, the Apostle Paul tells us that the presence of the Holy Spirit is the reason the Antichrist doesn't come. When does the Antichrist come? When does the Antichrist, yeah, I mean, there's books written, when will the Antichrist come? Paul goes, no, you're not coming. Not while the Holy Spirit's here. You see? Because, and this is where he says it. Now, we get kind of wrapped around the axle and the pronouns, okay? But if we walk through it, it's pretty clear what it says. I want you to look, and I have overhead here. 2 Thessalonians 2, 6-7. And look at the principle here of what God's showing us, which is the same principle he showed us in Genesis with Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, for 50, I won't destroy it. So Genesis, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. And it says this. And you know, see, we know, okay, you know, who knows? The church knows. And you know what is restraining him, the Antichrist, evil, Satan. You know what is restraining the Antichrist and Satan. Now so that he, the Antichrist, may be revealed in his time. So we know what's restraining the Antichrist so that he will be revealed in his time, sometime in the future. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And all God's people said, amen. Oh my goodness. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Well, oh, it's just happening. No, it's orchestrated. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And only he, now here it is, and only he, and that is a capital H and a capital E. Only he, the Holy Spirit, who now restrains it, will do so until he, the Holy Spirit, is taken out of the way. Now, did y'all follow that? Now, again, what's happened, you get wrapped around the pronouns there. Now, if you look at it and kind of write in your Bible, it's like, oh my gosh. So what he's saying here, not to get lost in the pronouns, but the Holy Spirit is restraining evil, preventing the Antichrist from coming. That's what this verse says. The Antichrist can't come while the Holy Spirit's here, and the Antichrist can only come when the Holy Spirit's taken away. That's what it says. Amen? Y'all with me? And again, a lot of pronouns there. Just look it up and write in and follow this. So, the Holy Spirit is within each believer, thus within the believing church, restraining evil. Why isn't aspirin going to hell in a handbasket faster than it is? Part of it's Broadlands Community Church. What'd we do? We just showed up. You know, you imagine when Jesus changed, he just showed up. Now, whoa, see? That's what's saying here. The Holy Spirit within each believer, thus within the believing church, is restraining evil. When the church is raptured, taken up, caught up into the heavens, evil will move forward unrestrained on the earth. Without the church, there is judgment. And all God's people said. And you see why I went absolutely bonkers? When our dear governor says the church is not essential. What? What are you talking about? The church is the only reason we exist. It's the only reason we exist. But you see what's permeating society. Permeating society. Now, so we see this. Now, so we need to be encouraged, okay? It's like, oh, well, that's bad news and that's the good news, okay? It's the good news. And the good news is we're here. The good news, because we're here, we're restraining evil. Because we're so good? No, because we have the Holy Spirit within us and we are present here. And so God is telling us that we, the church, are the salt and the light of the world, the salt and the light of the nation, the salt and the light of the county, the salt and light of the city. And he wouldn't have destroyed the entire of Sodom and Gomorrah if he could just found 50 people. Now, as you go in that conversation, he goes all the way to 10. He goes all the way down to 10. Okay, 10. See, so you see where the church is so important to the world, so important to the country, so important to the county, so important to the city. Who's going to stand up to a movie like Cuties and Netflix? The church. The church. Who's going to stand up with the promoting of the homosexual lifestyle? The church. You see? But God, nobody's going to like me. You know, he said, listen, here's your job. Your job is to reflect me. That's your job. Not worrying about who likes you. All right? Well, so I'm fixing to move, and the only reason I don't move is because of you. Amen? So hallelujah. We're gonna praise. I mean, now are you excited about, we are the ones who turn this around by proclaiming Christ. And Christ is in us. Oh God, no, he's in us. Step in with the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of God flow through you. And here's what Jesus said. Now, doesn't this make a lot of sense what Jesus said? Because he had his disciples, all these people around him, and he didn't have a clue what he was talking about. And we know that because that's the end of his ministry. But he told them anyway. God bless, people wrote it down. Now we can look back on it. Oh, that's what he meant. Okay? And so this is what Jesus said. Chapter 5, right in the beginning of his ministry, he goes, Matthew, we have overhead for this. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. He looks at this rabble. He didn't go to the people in royalty, high government. That's not where he went. He just went to the folks. And he said to the folks, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He is saying the church is essential. You are essential. Therefore, we have a job to do. Be salt and light and declare Jesus is the light of the world. Look at John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He's the only one to stop it. And he's going to stop it through his people. And his people delay the irreversible wrath of God. That's the reason he wrote Revelation. He said they would not repent. He says it over and over again in Revelation. They would not repent. That's where it goes. And they wouldn't repent. He took the church out. They won't repent. Amen? So hallelujah. I hope you are not feeling depressed, but really, really important. Okay? Really, really important. Really, really powerful. And says, no, we're going to stand here because God told us to stand here in the power of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. I think it's a good place to prayer. All right? Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Let's just pray. Just think on this a little bit. Just think on this a little bit. Just think on this a little bit. See, this brings home the point of why we're here. This brings home the point of why we are here. It's something way bigger than us. Way bigger than us. And the thing of it is, God's telling us. He's telling us right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for each person that they would be encouraged. The world is going bad because the world is bad. Okay? The world is showing evil because the world is evil. And so, Lord, you have put us here to show your light. It's a positive. We are to show light, and the light shines forth in darkness. And so I pray that we'd stand strong, showing your light, and being encouraged that, God, you have called us here to show forth your light. And God, being encouraged that we looked upon you and all our sins were nailed to the cross, and we are forgiven and have become your light. We have become your light because our sins were nailed to the cross through the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we thank you, and I pray this be a wonderful day, an uplifting day, that we can stand in the goodness of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I hope Adam's got a happy song. All right. We'll stand and pray here.